Ever wanted to hang out with a bunch of Sanrio characters like Hello Kitty, Kuromi, and Cinema Roll? Well, you can with Hello Kitty Island Adventure, available on Apple Arcade. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
Sifter.com.au.
Hello and welcome to Drop Rate by Sifter. This is another speed run as we go through one of the games that we've reviewed on our website, sifter.com.au. My name is Gianni DiGiovanni. This week, Doom the Dark Ages, the medieval prequel to the Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal games. We'll find out whether or not the Doom Slayer can make the jump back in time. Before we get into that, let's find out what's been making the news this week with the top stories on Walkthroughs, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And I'm Gianni DiGiovanni.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday the 7th of December.
Netflix will acquire Warner Brothers, including their games division, for nearly US$83 billion.
Helldivers 2 developers managed to cut the size of the game down massively, cutting nearly 100 gigabytes of storage size.
EA could already be in danger of cuts with Saudi Arabia's public investment fund taking a lot of debt to make that acquisition deal work.
Plus, all the coolest games that are releasing this week that you should absolutely keep an eye out for.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website, sifter.com.au, every Sunday.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
Doom 2016 is one of those must-play titles. Everyone who fired it up would rave about it, a true spiritual successor and a reboot to the decades-old franchise. It was fast and brutal, with enemies that were cartoonishly evil, each level ripped from your brother's mate's metal band fan art. Even if you weren't tooling around in the DOS prompt in the 90s, you could appreciate the speed and razor-sharp gameplay that players fell in love with. Doom the Dark Ages feels like a reboot of its own, a sideways step back away from a lot of the changes made in Doom Eternal. If you don't know your BFGs from your super shotguns, then this might be exactly the Doom for you, a great entry point for newbie Doom Slayers. Have you ever contemplated why we must rip and then tear? Let's get one thing out of the way straight away. No one really plays Doom for the plot. Sure, there is a story weaving each of the levels together, but it felt like window dressing on the demon murder. Here's the story if you missed out. Number one, demons appear in front of you. Number two, you kill them. Number three, repeat. Hell, Doom Eternal opens on a weird time skip with absolutely zero explanation. I honestly do not remember a single thing about that game. And the first one had something to do with super hell energy hypercapitalism. I think it doesn't matter. So when I say one of the biggest changes in the Dark Ages is that it actually has a story with multiple characters and story cutscenes. Like, the fundamental parts are still there from previous games. As a reminder, demons appear, you kill them, repeat. But now you actually get more of the how and the why. The world that was hinted at or referenced obliquely is much more fleshed out this time around, ready for you to tear into. Each exquisitely rendered hallway and room fills up that picture of this universe. You get to find out who the Night Sentinels really are. You get to meet a fair few of them. You find out what they're fighting for. Mysterious scheming Khans here are up to no good. The demons are up to even worse. There is exposition and you find out why. Doom the Dark Ages, I'm convinced, is meant to be someone's first Doom. It feels like a specific entry point. It's not as hectic, and you aren't left to just puzzle it all out as you kablam baddies into what comes after the afterlife. Alright, so a bunch of demons have appeared in front of me, I hear you ask. Do I talk to them or something? No. You still kill them, One of the major issues with Doom Eternal is how much it funnels you towards specific counters for specific enemies, building a pattern of skills. Learning each of the counters for each situation took trial and error. You had to do what the game wanted you to do. It was at the core of the design of that game, with game director Hugo Martin even stating in interviews that he wanted to hold the player accountable and keep them playing a particular way and keep them in the fun zone. It didn't work for me. I have played a lot of FPS titles over the years and it felt bad. The Dark Ages feels like a genuine step away from that philosophy and lets players complete these combat puzzles in their own way. I had countless encounters where I was switching through weapons frequently. When I ran out of ammunition in a favorite gun, I just moved to the next one. It didn't feel like it was game over. That was absolutely not the case in the previous game. I could actually also have a favorite weapon and build strategies around using that gun I liked, weaving together counters with the new shield and different melee weapons. It comes with a pretty major trade-off, one that might be a deal-breaker for certain players. It's a lot slower. You need to be ready for enemy fire and position yourself correctly, but you've definitely got time to get there. Glowing green projectiles rocket towards you and need to be ready to blast them back towards the demon who sent them your way with your shield. Each encounter is a new dance as you shoot demonic foes, then ricochet their attacks back at them, finishing them off with a final gory melee kill to refresh your ammo and health. You can strategically chuck your shield at a group of glowing fodder to build up armor. You can actually choose how your guns level up, some upgrades giving you more damage over time, or make your attacks wider and more deadly to groups of foes. Choices are firmly part of this game, and it's interesting to see how teams who've built a series of games change their overall design mentality as they release new titles. That's a really good thing in my book. Switching between shooting, defending with your shield, meleeing falls into a really enjoyable rhythm. As the world is bigger, and you're not running through complete ruins all the time as you were in previous games, you get to spend more time in that beauty as it gets ruined. Two new additions to the gameplay are the flying sections, where you hop astride your dragon and fight through the air, moving to different areas in much larger spaces. It's just a dragon, by the way. They don't give it a sci-fi fantasy name or anything. If it's cool, they kind of just go with it. One level saw me flying through arches and past domes of a city under siege, blasting down enemy ships, then catapulting myself back into first person to finish everyone off on foot. The dragon connects up each of these little encounters and you're free to pick where you're going first. In other levels, you jump in the cockpit of a ponderous, gigantic mech, complete with its own crucifix launching frame. The absolute heft of this machine is evident as you biff demons into next week. It feels slow and completely relentless. The mech sections really are just a slightly different style of first-person level if you look at the fundamental structure, but it's a nice way to change it up. The Doom games have a fun, over-the-top vibe. Gibbs of unlucky monsters spray across the floors and walls. Garth Marenghi would be proud of the narrative team. The world is ridiculous and silly to be in an adolescent power fantasy where you're absolutely the good guy, even if you aren't a nice guy. What I really like about Doom the Dark Ages is that there isn't the same pressure on you to be absolutely perfect. The fun zone has been widened pretty dramatically and the game is much better for it. Of course, if you want to ratchet it all the way up to ultra violence difficulty setting, you can. You absolutely can. This game is for people playing their first Doom game ever, but I actually think if you bounced off Doom Eternal, it's worth pulling on the green helmet and scowl once again. You're then presented with a choice. Head back towards the modern game that started us down this journey with Doom 2016, or head down the path of mastery with Doom Eternal. The choice this time round is completely yours.
Hi, I'm Chris Button, and on the latest episode of Lightmap, Noel Berry and Maddie Thorson, developers of the beloved platformer Celeste, look back at the massive impact of their indie hit.
Like, when we release a game, we don't fully understand it, right? Like, we have our concept of what it is and what we think is special about it, and we put it out there. And then through other people playing it and talking about it and all sorts of stuff, we learn more about it and ourselves. Like, to me, that feels like the goal of
of making art.
If you're making stuff and putting it out there intentionally, you want people to react to it and perceive it and see what it means to them. It's not really yours anymore.
The place it takes in the stream. The Gaia stream from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. You can get every episode of Light Map for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or our website, sifter.com.au, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Sit down for a chat with your pals in video games.
You're listening to Sifter.
This has been Drop Rate Speedrun. My name is Gianni DiGiovanni. Thanks for listening. A copy of Doom the Dark Ages on PC was provided to Sifter for the purpose of this review. You can read a full version of this review on our website, sifter.com.au, where you can see some pictures of the game in action. Sifter is produced by Carl Paletto, Fiona Bartholomaeus, Courtney Smith, Adam Christou, and Chris Button. Kat Jahn is our social producer, Mitch Lowe is senior producer, and my name is Gianni Giovanni, and I'm the executive producer of Sifter. Thanks to Audio Technica Australia and Apple for their support of Sifter. That's it for this episode. Until next time, have fun.